From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. The company planning an underground copper, nickel, and precious metals mine near Ely has boosted its estimates of the reserves the site holds. Toronto-based Duluth Metals says its final estimates are in the average of 19% higher than an interim estimate made in June. The company will use the data as it develops details for its Twin Metals mine, which it plans to build eventually just east of Birch Lake. The new estimate is based on data from additional drill holes, which the company says confirm that the Twin Metals resource is one of the largest copper, nickel, precious metals deposits in the world. They estimate it is also one of the largest platinum and palladium resources outside South Africa. A group of northeastern Minnesota residents is asking state leaders to decline to award a package of mineral rights leases recommended by the Department of Natural Resources. Matt Tyler of Finland says the Executive Council should defer action when it meets this week until the Court of Appeals decides whether the DNR should conduct an environmental review of the leases. Tyler led a drive that gathered more than 170 signatures in support of a review, but the DNR decided the petition was premature because none of the three companies that bid on the 31 tracts have submitted plans yet for actual prospecting on the lands for copper, nickel, and other metals. The leases cover about 9,500 acres in St. Louis, Lake, and Aiken counties. Earlier this week, I spoke with 8th District Congressman-elect Rick Nolan, who reflected on his past years in the House and his new tenure, plus some surprising facts about fundraising. This is a return visit to Congress for you, and this time it's in a different district slightly, and a long time between assignments. It was back in the 80s, was it not?
It was, yeah, back in 1981. I've been out there the last several weeks now in orientation for all the new members, and at times I feel a bit like Rip Van Winkle. I took a nap and I woke up and there I was still in the Congress.
So tell me, what are you doing to prepare? You just said you've been going to meetings out in Washington, but the return to the House, how do you prepare for something like this? And what do you do? Is it different from the last time you were there?
You know the old saying, how things change and remain the same. There are some pretty dramatic changes, I think, that have taken place since I last served. And one of them is the tremendous amount of money that's going into campaigns and elections, which, in my judgment, are really having a toxic effect. Newly elected members of Congress now, they're expected to spend about 30 hours a week in what they call call time. It means calling people, asking them for money for your reelection campaign. And that's something we never used to do. And that was time we spent in committees, meeting with constituents, collaborating, cooperating, more often than not, compromising and getting things done. And I just think that this money in politics has a very toxic effect. And we need to start by changing the way we do politics.
The 8th District did draw an awful lot of money in this election. I mean, is this something that you can personally sort of go against that trend, or are we all locked into that now?
No, there's some things that we can do. This Citizens United decision that was made by the Supreme Court on a 5-4 vote is what really opened the floodgates. This 8th District congressional race now, some of the estimates are that over $20 million went into this race. Well, that's just obscene and it's uncalled for. That's more money that's been spent in all the election contests in the 8th District than the last 100 years combined. But what you can do is a constitutional amendment to reverse the Citizens United. Perhaps the court will recognize the folly of that decision and someone on the court will change their position. Perhaps, you know, someone on the court will resign and or leave the court for one reason or another, and a new appointment could reverse that. But I've always felt that we should have public funding for federal campaigns and elections so that members of Congress are beholden to the public and not the most well-financed special interests.
Well, what you said a few minutes ago about that call time, that's news to me. I didn't realize that you had to spend so much time doing that kind of thing, and that's really not doing the public's business, is it?
No, it really isn't. And you know what? Both the Republicans and the Democrats have office space, across the street from the Capitol, and it's all divided up into cubicles where the various members from around the country go over and sit there and do call time, calling for money. It's just wrong. It's just fundamentally wrong, and it's ruining the country and needs to be fixed.
Can you sort of buck that trend, or would that be bad news for you?
Well, that's my goal. I mean, the first bill I'm going to introduce is to reverse the Citizens United decision, along with a bill to provide for public financing. And then I really believe very strongly that we need to restrict the amount of time that our representatives can spend campaigning. Mm-hmm. Many of the democracies around the world do that, and they have election contests that go anywhere from 30 days to, 60, 70, 90 days.
That's dramatically shorter than it is in this country. I agree.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you hear this notion that everybody's campaigning and nobody's governing, and it's literally true, Jay, and it needs to stop.
A couple of questions before I let you go. First of all, what committees were you on back in the day, and which ones do you want to be on this time around?
I've been traveling throughout the district, meeting with businesses, municipal officials. Today I'm meeting with county officials. I try to get a good sense of what people want, what they expect, help prepare me so that, I can be the best representative possible. In the past, I served on the Agriculture Committee and the Small Business Committee. This time I'm applying to get on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. Surface water transportation are such an important, integral part of tourism, mining, and forestry, and shipping up in our district. And infrastructure has been lagging and wanting, and it's a good way to create good jobs and lay a good foundation for economic development. I also want to get on the Agriculture Committee again for a couple of reasons. One is that Agriculture Committee manages the U.S. Forest Service, and of course, forestry is such an important, integral part of our economy.
How do you? I've only got a minute here left, and I want to be sure. How do constituents reach you before you actually take office? I mean, you're ready to set up an office in Washington. Is there some phone number that I can post someplace so people can?
For the time being, I've got my personal phone number. And I don't mind giving it to you on the radio here. It's 218-838-9879. We will shortly be assigned. I've been assigned an office, but I won't be able to take possession of it till January 3rd. Similarly, I'll be assigned, a telephone number, an email address. But for the meantime, people have to use my campaign site and my personal phone number.
We have been speaking by phone to 8th District Congressman-elect Rick Nolan. Thank you very much. Have a good meeting with the folks in St. Cloud and the county officials. I'm sure you'll get an earful, and we will look forward to talking to you again soon. Clean air advocates are suing the Environmental Protection Agency, seeking an order to require the EPA to mandate that Xcel Energy install the best available technology to reduce emissions at Minnesota's biggest power plant. The six groups that filed the lawsuit Wednesday say pollution from the coal-fired Sherco plant near Becker is unhealthy for people and a major contributor to haze that obscures the views at Voyageurs and Isle Royale National Parks and the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. They say a haze-cutting plan that state regulators submitted to the EPA is deficient because it doesn't require Xcel to install technology used at similar plants elsewhere that would most effectively cut Sherco's emissions. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.